This is an interview with Alvin Larsson of Holton. He was born in 1898 in Stockholm, Maine, and lived and worked there for the first 33 years of his life. And these are the years we're going to talk about first. You were born in Stockholm, but your parents weren't, were they?
I was born in Stockholm. My parents were born in New York, in Sweden.
When did they come to this country?
Well, I don't know the date when they came, but my mother, she landed in Worcester. And as far as I know, my father came from Worcester, too.
He was already there.
Yeah, he was already there.
Well, that must have been in the late 1800s, because you were born in 1898.
Yeah.
And then they were already in Stockholm and married. At that time, Stockholm was quite a thriving town. What did most of the people in the town do for a living?
Well, most of the people worked in this plant here, and then in the fall and during the winter, they had big woods operation. And not only that, but then we had another plant there, a long lumber mill, the Stockholm Lumber Company, which employed quite a crew.
There was two mills then.
Yeah, and then we had the railroad. There's quite a crew working on the different sections of the railroad.
The Bangor and Worcester.
The Bangor and Worcester Railroad. So there was quite a crew in there. And then, of course, the old mill burned. The old town, and they rebuilt. And then they started, and in about a year, they built another plant right across the door with a catwalk on top.
Was this the Stockholm Lumber Company?
No, this is the Stanley Veneer Company.
Stanley Veneer Company.
And in this place, they even made boxes and made coffins. And they even had a small tannery in there.
And this was all owned by the Veneer Company?
Yeah, it's all owned by Stanley Veneer Company.
How old were you when you went to work?
Well, I was about 14 years old, and father and mother divorced, and she built a little home down the village.
Now, she built that herself?
And there was four of us, and I used to go in after school and help her on the work, and finally I got so I could do that just as well as she could. Well, then after a while she took sick and called me in one afternoon, and I took her place, and I stayed there ever since.
She didn't go back to work?
No, she didn't go back.
What kind of a job was that?
Well, it's what they call, they used to, it was practically all the veneer was air dried. And they had to take these chair seats, squares we call it, and they used to be stuck what they call sticking in the racks, one on top of the other, two pieces in between each one to be air dried, and that's what they did.
How long a day did she work, or did you work when you went in?
Well, she worked 10 hours, and I did that the first part of 10 hours. Big pay, too.
Yes, how much did you make?
A dollar and a quarter a day. Yes, I considered myself very lucky, because my brother worked on what they call a dryer. He got 50 cents, 10 hours.
Now, this was a veneer mill.
That's right.
And who owned it?
Well, that was owned by the Stan Veneer Company. Alan Quimby was three of the head men.
Mm-hmm. Were they, was it owned by local people?
No.
No. How many owners did that have? Did that change hands?
Well, that changed hands in, I think it's 1928, where the Atlas Plywood Corporation bought the plant.
In 1928?
In 1928, where they didn't stay there too long when they dismantled the mill.
That was the end of
it?
How were the logs brought in?
Well, the hardwood logs were generally brought in by team during the winter months. I think at one time they had as much as 21 pair of horses that hauled the logs.
From the logging camps?
From the logging camps.
How many camps might they have out around Stockholm?
Well, they probably had about two.
Two?
Two.
Those are pretty good-sized camps.
Good-sized camps. Of course, the Stockholm Lumber Company, they bought up their lumber in most of the steam log hauler.
Steam log hauler? Instead of horse. They were... how far away from town were these logging camps?
Well, I should say probably about 10, between 10 and 12 miles.
And these were...
More or less, it all depended. The older the mill got, the further away the lumber got.
Yes. Can you give us kind of a step-by-step operation from the time they brought them in? What did they do with them when they first arrived?
Well, the logs when they first arrived at the mill were always piled up in piles out in the river. And then during the summer months, they were taken from the pile, bring them to the mill. And then they were sawed to the right length. And then they were put into these hot steam vats.
Always a log pond.
Yeah. And they were generally kept in there for a day and a half, and if it could have been for 2 days in the steaming hot water.
Mm-hmm. Then what did you do with
them? Then, of course, then from there on, they were brought into the mill and cut into the different sizes of the plywood that they had to have, you know, to meet their certain order.
Mm-hmm. When your finished product was ready, how was it shipped out of Stockholm?
It was generally shipped on the B&A.
On the B&A?
It was all crated and shipped by car on the B&A.
Where might it have been going to? Do you ever remember?
Well, I think they went out mostly in a simple state out into where they done a lot of furniture work.
Oh, I see. How were the conditions in the mill? Was it a pretty good place to work?
Well, it wasn't too bad, you know. Those years, the only thing we had against it, we didn't have no drinking water.
No water?
No toilets in the mill, whatever. Of course, which made it.
Now, it made
it better.
Well, now, you said the first mill that your mother worked in, that conditions in that one were even worse.
No, they were even worse there because they didn't even have light.
How could they seem to do the work without light?
Well, putting there with one cat of lantern around, and down in the cutting room where the lathes were, they had these big lamps, you know, hanging up over, probably 5 or 6 over one, what we call one table.
Were there ever any bad accidents?
Yeah, they had quite a few of them, right? They had 9 serious accidents.
That you remember?
And 7 of these were men that fell in the vats, it was called. I think there's only one that ever went in there, and he only got part of his leg burned to the lip.
Didn't live. Now, were these accidents, did those happen because there weren't the right safety precautions?
Well, this room where they steam the logs in was, when they open them up, and it's a little cool in the morning, the vapors of the steam would come up, and sometimes you couldn't see a foot ahead of you where you were walking or anything.
Were there any rails around?
At the first, there was none there, but then they did put the railings up, but there was one there, went through that railing just the same.
So that really didn't help that much.
And then we had one man who got killed out in the yard when the final log fell back on him. And then another man got hit in the stomach with a piece that came back from the saw.
How did the men feel when they had these accidents? Did they blame it on the plant, or?
Well, yes, some of them did, some didn't. Of course, there wasn't too much safety in those days.
No. You didn't have any unions?
No.
No unions, so
yeah.
If you had a complaint, what did you do about it?
Well, we'd get one spokesman and talk to the superintendent, or probably we would wait for Mr. Quimby to come up and have a meeting with him and see what could be done.
Did anything ever come of those meetings? Your relationships were pretty good with the employers.
Well, they began to fix up and put railings around these different tanks and begin, you know, to warn the boys that worked out there.
When you were in the mill, were women working there too?
No, just one, my mother, and one that I know.
Gee. you could do a day's work just like a man.
Of course, down in the Colston mill, when they got that started, there was a few women working there too.
Was it because they wouldn't hire them, or did most of the women not want to work?
Well, really, I don't know. I don't think it was because they didn't want to hire them.
But at that time, women didn't work.
No.
No.
Not as they do today.
But your mother with four children to bring up had to. Yes. You went on from Stockholm, you went to Greenville.
Yes.
And the mill at that time was still running in Stockholm.
Yes.
Yeah, you didn't leave because it closed.
They cut the wages so bad in Stockholm on one time. When you get a cut from $6 a day down to $2.50,
That's quite a cut.
So I quit. And finally, during the Depression there in the early 30s, I had to get work. So I went to Greenville. And I didn't improve myself any because I only got 3 or 4 days work
a week. Were the wages better down there?
No, same thing. Owned by the same company.
Oh, that was the same company. Was the mill different down there, though? Was it a bigger operation?
Well, it probably was a little larger mill, but all on the same mm-hmm. process of operating, cutting plywood.
Is that Greenville mill still operating? Mm-hmm. It is still operating. You said the wages and conditions were just about the same. Well, you were in Greenville for how long?
Well, almost 2 years.
And then
I came, hired out with Sam Antwerp and came here to Holt.
Now, Sam Antwerp, this was a privately owned mill here in Holt.
Well, it's just Sam and Mr. Quimby and us both of the Stockholm.
Mm-hmm. About what time was that when you came to Holt, remember?
Well, I should think about 1937.
1937. Yeah. Was this a bigger operation here in Holton?
No, but I got a little better job.
What did you, was it a promotion when you came out?
Well, it wasn't away. When I came to Holton, I was forming a cutting room.
How were the wages then?
Well, they were better than I had in Greenville.
Did you work a full week then?
Oh, yeah, that worked.
Was it still a 10-hour day?
No.
9-hour day. What time?
There's one thing I like to mention.
What?
Probably I shouldn't do it. You know, I came in Holton in 1937, and after I would quit in 1957, and I never lost one day of pay.
Now there. I don't know why you shouldn't mention in 20 years. That's something to be proud
yes,
of.
Sir.
What time did you go to work in the morning?
Well, we went to work at 7.
At 7? 7 to 5. And did you have a lunch hour or a half
hour? Oh, yeah. No, we had 1 hour.
Did you ever have any coffee breaks in those days?
Well, at the latter part of it, we did have a little break in the morning or in the afternoon.
But in the early days, that was never...
No, that's out of the question.
That was never heard of. This mill in Holton, the conditions in this mill, were they better?
Well, no. I wouldn't say it was because this mill here in Holton was an old woolen factory. And then they turned that over to be a plywood mill, which made it fall forward.
It was built as a woolen factory?
Yeah, it was a woolen.
Oh.
And then not only that, but there was no railroad going into this plant. They had to tuck all of the air out, and then they built what we call the CP plant.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to tuck all of the air, either there or through the DNA to be shipped out, either one.
Because no railroad handled it.
No railroad down.
So that must have been an added expense.
Oh, yeah.
When did this mill in Holton close? You said 57?
Yeah. Closed in the fall of 57.
Do you know really why it closed?
Well, as near as I can could find out for that time, it's because of the conditions of this mill, and they compared it with some of the other. We couldn't make more than probably 7 or 8% money for them on the investment they had. And they were looking for 15 and 16 and 17, which we couldn't do here on the conditions.
Why?
Well, in the first place, we had 2 plants. We had to tuck all our plywood. Well, we had 1 fire room down here, which took a crew. 1 fire room at the sea plane plant took a crew. We had a double crew of maintenance men
mm-hmm.
here and there, And that all added up. Mm-hmm. And we couldn't compete with any of the other plants.
Because of that added
expense? We had all of that extra where other plants did.
It was really like a double plant.
Yeah.
Well, now, when this mill closed, where'd you go then?
Well, when this mill closed here, I went into a little business of my own and started a little bell factory. But in the meantime, I worked about a couple of years in Patton.
Mm-hmm. Now, in Patton, was this a plywood operation still?
Yeah, and at that time, Mr. Huber, J.M. Huber, had bought the plant from the Atlas Plywood Company.
That, and the Patton plant at one time had been Atlas.
What?
Yeah. When you went there, it was Huber who owned it, though?
Yes.
Yeah. Was that a smaller operation?
Yes.
Yeah. Is that still running?
Yes.
And you're still doing the same kind of work?
Same kind of work, but of course they modernized it a
lot. Well, the conditions probably are much better. Do you know now in those mills, do they work an 8-hour day? Or do they work a longer day than that, like in Patton?
No, I think, as far as I know, all they work in Patton is 9 hours.
Well, you said that you have gone into a little business of your own, your barrels. And now, where did you get your experience?
Well, the Allen Crimbit Company made barrels down here.
Here in Holton?
Yeah, here in Holton. I made them for a few years. I decided I was too old, you know, to go to anywhere else, so I began to look into it. I hired one of the buildings up to Holton Airport, and I was up there 12 years.
Where did you get your machinery?
Well, I bought quite a bit of it from the Airport Bible.
When they went out of business?
When they went out of business.
Now, this is a plywood barrel.
Yes, plywood barrel.
Where do you get your materials?
Make
what? Where do you get your materials now to make your barrels?
I get mine all from Pep.
You do?
That is the plywood from Pep. And of course, the cedar I use for the bottoms and the ash hooks I buy locally.
Mm-hmm. You get your plywood from Patton. Now, that's shipped to your flat?
Yes.
And you?
We roll it and nail the hooks.
Nail the hooks and put the bottom on.
Put the bottom in and nail the hooks.
Mm-hmm. How many barrels might you make, say, in a year?
Well, I had one good year. I made a little bit over 11,000. But of course now, since the harvest has come in, that's cut almost in half.
Mm-hmm. They don't use anywhere near as many.
Very few. And I'm not the only one. All the barrel makers in Aroostook County.
How many barrel makers are there in Aroostook County? Do you know?
Well, there's one, two. Oh, there must be seven or eight.
Are there really that many left?
But I'm the only one that makes a plywood barrel. All the rest make what they call a stay barrel.
A stay barrel.
Cedar barrel.
Do some of the farmers prefer one over the other?
Oh, yes.
Now, what might be the reasons be for wanting a plywood barrel?
They got lots of reasons, but...
Are they good ones?
Well, a lot of them, they don't want to have a plywood barrel on the seam.
They won't use them at all.
And now, after I can start on plywood, they won't have a cedar barrel on them.
For heaven's sake.
That's the way it works.
Is one barrel sturdier than the other?
I don't think so. It's just, you know, you can take anything, and if a farmer don't use it correctly, or use it right, why, anything will go to pieces.
Now, you say you get your cedar for the bottoms and the ash for the hooks locally. Mm-hmm. You mean right in Holton or
right
in?
Right in Holton area, either Holton or Hudson.
Do you ever have difficulty in getting these
last
things?
Last year, or in 1970, I couldn't get enough hooks. For the simple reason that winter there was so much snow that they wouldn't go in and cut them. Now, as far as 1971 and 72 is concerned, I got more hooks than I can use for the summer.
You're way ahead. How much do you sell your barrels for?
Well, this year I'm selling for $3.65 plus a day.
$3.65 a piece?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do you remember, by any chance, what they sold for when Atlas had them?
Yeah.
Would they?
Sold for 75 cents.
75 cents a piece. And now $3.75.
Well, they were Of course, they went up, but at one time they did throw 75 cents.
Do you, is this a one-man operation, or do you have help?
Well, I have help, you know, when I really need it, but it can be done alone.
Mm-hmm. You're not still in your same place at the airport, though,
you? No, no, I discontinued that place, and I put myself in a place out in Harlem. That's where I am right now.
Mm-hmm. And do you plan to go on making barrels?
No, I can only go so far. I'm getting pretty well along in here.
You think?
But I hope one of my sons will take over.
You think you have one lined up?
Well, I think so.
Well,